that's going to be our first order of business tonight. Does anyone have an objection to Don acting as acting chair to get us started?
No objection.
No objection.
Okay. So you're going to follow your agenda.
Okay.
And it'll have the items right here in line that you need to do, and then I'll lock and load.
Okay. Would you say that, Casey?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I call this meeting in order. Would you say the invocation?
So I'll say the invocation.
Mary Allen Colley on the invocation.
Dear Lord, help us fulfill our obligations to our neighbors and community in an honest, ethical, and fair way. And also help us find that Malaysian Airlines flight and hope that nothing bad happened to them. Amen.
Amen. Pledge of allegiance, please. Everybody rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Ms. Danielle Ruslayer.
Here.
Ms. Mary Ann Colley.
Here.
Mr. Jason Kreuter.
Here.
Mr. Derek Batzel.
Present.
Ms. Shirley Wright.
Here.
And Mr. Donald Sparkman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, approval of the minutes.
There were no minutes.
Well, we did have minutes, but it was no quorum meeting, so if you just approve those, it'd be great.
I'd make a motion to approve those minutes of the non-meeting.
Second.
Okay, motion was by
First by me, second by him.
Jason, yeah. Do we have approval?
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Swearing of the officers?
Would you swear an officer, sir?
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. To please the board, for the record, Maureen Kennedy, Dwayne Thomas, Matt Lightfried, and Chip Rich accepted the oath.
Okay.
To please the board, good evening. My name is Charles Rich. I'm with the city of Ocala. I'm the duly appointed code enforcement official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been in charge of the division for more than 5 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience, and I'll be presenting cases to you all this evening. As part of our first order of business, as a board, you all need to elect a chair and a vice chair. So I will let you all caucus for a moment and see who wants to take the honors, and then you'd have to have a motion and a vote. A motion, a second, and a vote.
Do you want the chair?
I'll take the chair.
Okay.
Who wants to be vice chair?
I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd move to make him chair.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll call the roll, please.
We want roll call again?
There's a motion to make Donald Sparkman chairman.
All in favor? Aye.
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 So we have Mr. Donald Sparkman as the chair.
We'll need a second motion to select a vice chair.
I don't think I can motion.
I make a motion that
Daniel Roos.
Yeah, Daniel Roos, the vice chair.
Second.
Motion by Don Sparkman, second by Derek Patson.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So we've got Danielle Roos Laird as vice chair.
Both chair and vice chair by unanimous voice vote.
Both vice chair and chair are unanimous in vote.
So if it pleases the board, we'd start this evening in order of appearance before the board. That would take us to COM 13-1628 on your presentations.
Thank you.
Page 3.
This case is the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Isaiah Miller, a location of 2118 Northwest 2nd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 82151, the Standard Housing Code, accepted. The sections of the Standard Housing Code are Section 305.2, Exterior Walls, 302.1, Sanitary Facilities, 304, Minimum Requirements for Electrical Systems, 302.5, Heating Facilities, 305.7, Windows, and 305.10, Windows Operable. As part of your presentation, we've included photographs at the end of your presentation of the conditions at the location. If you go just up from the photographs, we have also provided you a portion of the code cited and what the requirements are. In this particular presentation, that's on page 26. So if you wanted to look at what's required for that particular section of the code, that's provided for you on each one of the cases. For your code board members that have been here, you understand this, but we have a couple new folks, so I'm just going to kind of show them around a little bit if it pleases the board.
Yes.
I will be calling in this case Officer Dwayne Thomas to explain photographs that he took for the first time so that you guys understand the process. And the summary of findings and the exhibits that are included are that in this case we do not have a deed because it's a mobile home. Normally titles come with the mobile home facilities, and that was not available for us to provide for you. The parcel ID is 2260-168-009. Legal service was obtained on 10/26/2013 for the notice of violation and 2/27/2014 for the notice of hearing. We provided posting on the property on 10/24/2013 for the notice of violation and 10/25/2014 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this property and made contact with the tenant, who advised the property is in violation of the city's code. Investigation by Officer Thomas revealed there are numerous violations of the Standard Housing Code, which is adopted by the city's ordinance. Violations include problems with the exterior walls, toilet facilities, electrical requirements, heating facilities, windows, and the operable condition of the windows. Additional investigation revealed that the respondent has not taken action to remedy the violations noted in the inspection and actually has created one additional building code violation by removing the handrail on the stairs. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating the city's code section 82151 and order them to obtain permit from the building department to remedy all code violations of the Standard Housing Code as noted by the building and code inspectors within 60 days. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 30 days, failing which, a fine of $50 per day, which results in a lien against the property, and after 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. At this time, I'd call Officer Thomas. Dwayne, state your name for the record.
Dwayne Thomas.
You're a duly appointed code enforcement officer.
I am.
And you're trained and certified by the state of Florida, Florida Association of Code Enforcement, correct?
That's correct.
And you had an occasion to go out and observe this property?
Yes.
Could you explain your pictures on page one? You've got a picture of some, looks like some rotted wood on it.
Page one is the front entry to the mobile home through a porch, which is severely rotted.
Okay, and that's a violation.
That is a violation.
And then at the bottom of page one?
That is the rear entry of the rear side of the mobile home, and also a rotted porch, including the window, and the what looks to be an extension cord coming through the window.
Okay, for the light, right?
For the light.
And that's a violation.
Yes.
Because it's not a weatherproof.
That's
light.
Correct.
Can't have exposed wiring.
Right.
At the top of page two.
This is underneath the kitchen area. It's open to the floor.
That's the floor we're looking at.
Yes.
And that goes out.
That's correct.
Okay. To the bottom.
It's very difficult to get your bearings. Yes.
Okay. At the bottom of page two.
That is the underside of the sink, which has been foamed around various different leaks. You can see down at the edge of the wall behind the bottom of the P-trap there. There's foam also sealing the exterior of the mobile home, which actually is acting as a glue to hold the wall still.
On page 3?
That is a thermostat that does not operate.
And that would be for heating controls?
For the heating controls. There is no air conditioning in this unit other than window units.
Oops, I went too far, sorry. You've got at the bottom of page 3 trying to fix a hole and glue the wall together.
Yeah, this is also at the base of a closet where they've actually tried to seal the hole in the floor. The drain for the vanity sink in the bathroom where there's also holes in the wall.
And it drains into a bucket?
Drains into a bucket, which they do routinely have to empty into the toilet.
Okay.
Shower valve, they have to actually turn the hot water on with the pliers that you see in the picture. And there's a massive amount of caulking around the exterior of the shower that is still leaking.
And the standard housing code requires knobs.
Yes.
And sealant, right?
That's correct.
Top of page.
The pipe that you see there is actually from the year of the mobile home. That is one of the drain pipes from the kitchen sink. They used to make them this way, but that wall is severely rotted at the base where it's detached from the flooring. It just swings freely. You can actually, if you leaned against the wall, you would exit the building.
The bottom of page 5 is kind of showing that from the outside.
That is the exterior of that wall, yes.
Top of page 6.
There are several jalousy windows in this mobile home that are missing panes, broken panes, no screens. And I'm not sure what that wire is.
The code, the standard housing code requires the glass all be intact, all screen be intact, and that you can see through the window.
That's correct.
Can't look this window.
Correct. This is just showing the overgrowth of the property. There's small sapling trees that are starting to protrude up. The picture does not, unfortunately, show it justice to what's actually there. This was the exterior and the posting.
You posted on the side there?
On the side of the home.
Okay. Then you came back for a re-inspection?
That's correct.
And that was in September of last year?
That's correct.
So you've been trying to work with the respondents here for?
For quite some time.
Okay. And you're showing in these pictures that the same violations are there?
That's correct.
Do you have any additional comments that we need to look on these pictures before or whatnot? Basically the same pictures, just no change.
Yeah, it's just in severe deterioration. It's not dilapidated by our code, but it is in poor condition.
And you've met with the complainants, the tenant?
The tenant, yes. And I've not spoken to the owner of the property.
Does the tenant have any additional information?
The tenant is not here this evening. The only thing that she did advise me of is that there was, I believe, eviction pending, and that she's paying her rent to the courthouse. But that's the only information I know. Or to the clerk, excuse me.
Any additional?
No.
Does the board have any questions of Officer Thomas?
I do.
Yes, sir.
Dwayne, how many people are living in this?
There are two people.
Two people.
I have a general question.
Yes.
I have a general question about, you said it doesn't fulfill the dilapidation.
I did have the building department go look at the property, but due to it being a mobile home, they really have very little governing over the
Okay,
structure
I just wondered
itself.
About that. Okay, thank you.
I have a question. Are permits required to address each of these individual violations?
The plumbing, if they do electrical, plumbing, and structural all in the same unit, they would have to have a contractor. Other than that, maintenance.
And because it's a rental unit, they do require a certified person to do the repairs.
Okay.
A homeowner's permit can't be pulled. It has to be pulled by a licensed contractor.
That's correct.
Any more discussion?
I'd make a motion to accept staff
for that. Representation here that would like to speak in this case.
I thought they said it didn't happen.
The renter's not here, but the owner.
Oh, the owners, okay.
Do you swear affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
Ernestine M. Stevenson, 9741 Southeast, Highway 464C, Ocklawaha, Florida, 32179.
Ms. Stevenson?
If police board, we have a different name here for the registered owner. If we could just establish standing in the case.
Her name's on
we
there.
We have Isaiah Miller.
Isaiah Miller is my father. The property belonged to a family, and he's deceased. And my daughter and I have the trailer on the property. And the reason why the corrections have not been made, the lady would not move out, and she would not allow a contractor to come in there. So they denied us anybody to go in and do any work with them, her still staying there. And it was started August 2013. This is my second eviction notice to them. So the first one, I got ill and I didn't go through with it. It was on November the 10th when I had emergency surgery. But I started eviction all over again. And this lady, Miltonia Terry, told me that she didn't have to move out unless she was ordered by the court. And she said, I said, well, you're not paying any rent. She told me she was paying rent at Dakota House. So I checked out all of that, and none of that was true. So she hadn't paid any rent since we went on vacation in August 2013. And she was a friend of my daughter, and she got put out. So she let her move in there with the idea that when we got back, we had to do repairs, but she could not stay there while we had repairs done. So we couldn't get anybody to go in and do any of the repairs because she was never at home. And she just, every time we go there, she had another story to tell.
So ma'am, where are you at in your eviction right now?
The sheriff served here on.
Do you have your eviction papers with you?
Yes.
Yeah, she's supposed to already receive those papers.
She's already had a 3-day notice and already paid
for the 5-day notice?
Yeah. And what we were waiting on, I thought the sheriff, the lady at the courthouse said the sheriff would bring me a receipt if, you know, when he delivered her eviction.
Did the sheriff serve the 5 days?
I haven't heard from him yet.
If police board, I think our staff recommendation falls in line with probably the time frame that they're going to need to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
And that might help them because we're actually giving them an additional 60 days to get work going there. So before any fine would attach, that's probably.
We couldn't get anybody to go in there
right.
Do the work because she won't move.
What I was just explaining to them is part of our recommendation mm-hmm. is that we give you some time, mm-hmm. 60 days, mm-hmm. because you're already on your way to getting her evicted,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll be able to get your permit and your contract to do the work.
Okay.
And if you need more time, you can petition our office to your officer.
Okay.
And they can afford you more time, but that's based upon you all making some progress during this time that we're affording.
Okay.
That's what I recommend.
All right. Thank you. Easy. No, we're waiting on the sheriff to get him out of there. And so after they get her out there, you'll give me the.
Do you have proof that you served your 5-day notice, ma'am?
Yeah.
With you?
this for the record?
Yes. She has paid for the property. Okay, thank you.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
Second.
Mr. Roots has made a motion to accept staff recommendation and, what's your name, sir?
Jason.
Jason, okay, I thought, Jason had seconded it. So what's going to happen, ma'am?
We got to do a vote.
Oh, yeah.
All in favor.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Okay, passed. The staff recommendations, you're going to have the, what is it, 60 days?
You have 60 days to pull the permits for this, and I would suggest maybe start fixing the remedies. It doesn't give you a deadline for when the remedies need to be done, actually, in the staff recommendation. It just says you have to obtain a permit to remedy all violations within 60 days. And then I guess at some point before your permit expires, you need to have those fixed.
Call for reinspection.
Yeah, make sure you call your officer for reinspection. And if you need more time, please come back and let us know so you don't wind up getting fined and stuff. You are going to have to pay cost of prosecution, which is like $118 or something.
I can tell you exactly if you'd like.
It's 172.69.
I don't think anyone can live in there after eviction.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot rent this back out again before the repairs are done.
It's 172.69.
172.69.
Yeah, close to 184.
That's what I owe this. I owe that to the court. If we decide to pull that trailer out, they are just discontinued. So we all.
If you remove it and it's off the property, then all that's going to be due is the cost of prosecution, and you'll contact your officer for reinspection.
Okay. Okay, I wanted to know, can we nail that trail up until we get?
Yep, if you'll talk with Officer Thomas, he can straighten that out.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If it pleases the board, we have additional representation here this evening. I'd like to move on page 3 of your agenda this evening, in the middle of the page, CUN 13-0610. This is the case of the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Shirley Pickney, a location at 420 Southwest 11th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure requiring abatement, and section 82-182, dangerous building declared a nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 2848-018-005. Legal service has all certified mail returned. We posted the property with our notices on 6-17-2013 with a notice of violation, and 7-13-2013 and 3-11-2014 for the notice of hearings. We would require a demo permit for this this property, and the summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas was referred to this property by the building department and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is in a dangerous structural condition after being burned by fire. Officer Thomas had some contact with the respondent last year, whom he was working with for a resolution with their insurance. Therefore, Officer Thomas allowed them additional time. Additionally, Officer Thomas allowed the fire marshal time to work the incident scene. After working with the respondent for a year and no action being taken to remedy the violation, we've brought this to your all's attention. This property is contributing to the slump, light, and deterioration condition of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy all violations have been unsuccessful and the violations remain. I'll draw the board's attention to the photographs at the end of your presentation. We did make inquiries with the fire marshal, who says that they have cleared this property, and staff has a recommendation. Staff's recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 82181 and 82182 and order them to, one, the respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to all current Florida Building Code regulations within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. And two, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day in the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any of your questions. And we do have representation here that would like to speak with the board this evening.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for the officer? Can we hear from the respondent?
Good afternoon. My name is Shirley Kirk-Pinkney.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And
yes.
If you could state your address for the record.
Can you state your address?
The address is 420 Southwest 11th Avenue. 420 Southwest 11th Avenue, Ocala, Florida.
What would you like to say, ma'am?
My son would recommend. I'm having my son to talk for me, if that's okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah, let's state it.
He knows more about it than I do.
Okay.
I'm an old lady.
Now, if you can just get sworn, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And if you can state your name and address for the record.
Wayne Pinkney, 1328 Northwest 12th Avenue. Dwayne Thomas?
Yes, sir.
He had told us to, the house was under investigation and to leave it like it is. After all the court papers they sent, and we got in contact with him, he said, well, the house still under investigation. We're going to have it torn down. And he said, no, don't bother with it because it's still under investigation.
How long ago was that?
Huh?
How long ago did he tell you that?
That was kind of recently, you know?
That was about 2 months after it
happened.
No. Earlier?
No.
So you're going to go ahead and tear it down now that it's cleared?
He had told us don't bother with it.
Well, now we're telling you that you can bother with it.
If they're going to tear it down, that fits in with our recommendation perfectly, because we'll give them time to do it. And then if they don't, then we'll help.
So, ma'am, your intentions are to tear down the building?
Yes, sir.
And when do you want to start doing that?
This is another situation where they'll have to have a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The recommendation is to give you 30 days to get the permit and 180 days to get the work done. Do you think you could do it in 180 days?
That's if they want to rebuild.
Oh,
yeah,
if you want to. 60 days if you're just going to demolish.
And you'll have to have a permit for that.
Yeah.
Do you think you could get it torn down in 60 days?
I'm not sure about that.
How much time do you think you do need? Because the structure does have to get torn down.
Maybe about 90 days.
I'd be fine with giving them 90 days. Is the staff okay with that?
How about we give you 60 days, and then if you come up on 30 and you can't do it, or you come up on 60, then come back and ask us for more time.
Mm-hmm. We'll do that. Thank you.
I'd make a motion to take staff recommendations as is.
Second. Okay, Ms. Roos has made the motion to accept the staff recommendation, and
Derek Batzel.
Mr. Batzel has seconded.
We'll have name tags.
Okay, we'll probably have to.
I apologize.
No problem.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. It passed. Thank you. You understand that within 60 days, you have to have the structure tore down or permit issued, with a permit issued, or come back in 30 days if you can't get that done.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. That's why I said 30 days.
60 days is all the work. The permit has to be done in 30.
And they have to have a permit.
That'll bring us to page 2 of your agenda this evening. CON 14-0014, the City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Paul McCarron Jr., Deborah McCarron, and Wells Fargo. This is a case located at 1853 Southeast 14th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of sections 3432, water collections, 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly, unsanitary matter, and section 34143, maintenance requirements for properties in foreclosure. I'll direct your attention to the end of the presentation where we've got some photographs of the current condition of the property, as it's located. In the summary of the parcel ID is 28624-000-02. Legal service was obtained on 1/13/2014 for the notice of violation, 1/29/30/2014 for the notice of hearing, 2/21/24/2014 for a revised notice of hearing. We posted the property on 1/9/2014 for the notice of violation and 1/28/2014 for the notice of hearing, as well as 2/18/2014 for the revised notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in your presentation this evening, we've included a copy of the Les pendants, a current property registration, and a copy of the SunBiz report for the corporate entity. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the property to be registered by the bank. However, the respondents have not come into compliance with the overgrown and maintenance violations upon the property. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful, and the violations remain. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Sections 3432, 3495, and 34143, order them to 1, drain or clean and treat all standing water collections upon the property and cover the pool, 2, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, 3, maintain the property in accordance with the property registration and maintenance requirements ordinance, and 4, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day in the city to do the cleanup work utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. We're prepared to answer any questions that you may have this evening. Staff rests.
Any questions?
Any questions?
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations on this.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion by
Gonna need those name tags.
We definitely need a name tag.
Kyle.
Kyle, yeah. And second by Ms. Roos. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Yeah.
The police board will move on to page 3 of your agenda this evening. At the top of the page, CON 14-0109. The City of Ocala and Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Sarah James Clayes and the Bank of New York Mellon. This is location at 208 Southeast 10th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. The violation of the code is section 94-101, affirmative maintenance requirements and demolition by neglect. Now, this property is in the historic district. So there's some different rules that apply in the historic district. As you all may be aware or may not be aware, the city has this district established as on the National Registry. So in order to maintain our registration as a historic district on the National Registry, properties have to be maintained at a higher standard if they're in this district. So affirmative maintenance is required and part of the requirement of the ordinance to have a property in the historic district. Demolition by neglect doesn't mean that the property is demolished or requiring demolition, but it means that if they are allowing a property to deteriorate to a point where they're not repairing it, they are in fact causing the demolition of the property through the neglect of the property. So that's how this code plays. This is a code that we had changed in 2011 to include this ordinance. In 2011, this property was brought before the board and they were found guilty of this violation. The property has since changed banks, and so we're back before you now after 3 years' time because the first bank did nothing to remedy the violation. Therefore, the lien was in place for that period of time. Now that the property has changed hands, we're taking this case against the new property owner, the Bank of New York Mellon.
So is it treated as a repeat offender?
It is not treated as a repeat offender because we did not have compliance of the first violation. So we're starting fresh with a new customer. Our other bank lien is still there, but we do need to notify the new customer, the new owner, and proceed with a case against them. That's why we're here this evening. So the summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to, let me go over the parcel ID. I keep skipping this tonight. The parcel ID is 28355-003-01. Legal service was obtained on 2/10/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. And we posted the property on 2/3/2014 for the notice of violation and the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report, the final judgment of foreclosure, and the findings of the OPAB board. The OPAB is the board that gives us a finding to bring the case to you all in these cases. We would require a permit to repair this property. We do not want the property demolished. We have to maintain the stock of homes in this area. If we don't, then we get decertified as a historic district. So that's what this ordinance is fighting to achieve. So our staff recommendation is to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 94-101, order them to 1, respondent to obtain a permit within 30 days to repair and prevent further demolition by neglect of the residence, contact a certified roofing contractor to make required repairs and replacements to the roof within 90 days. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case assessed within 30 days. And we would also like the repair of the spindles.
The railing.
In the railing on the front. That would be part of the roof repair as well. Failing which, a fine of $50 per day in the city in all costs and fines assessed as a lien in this case. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. We've included photographs of the current condition of the property. What's happening is the roof had a tarp on it for many years previously, and it's leaking water all the way down into the structure, which is causing the problems. We did have junk and debris, but the bank did come and clean that up.
How long has it been since the new bank took it over?
I can tell you that. Actually, if you give me just a moment. I think that's on the registration, right? looks like the new bank might have to look this up in the court record. Lorraine, did you have any impression on when the new bank was involved through your work on the case? Yeah, I can't see it.
And just for the record, do we have representation tonight?
No.
Someone's here.
Okay. Yeah, we have an observer.
Okay.
There's a something from the court in October 2013.
That's what I'm thinking is that it's been
judgment.
Less than 6 months was my impression from the planning department.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Well, let's have a discussion first.
The unsanitary matter is not there right now? The garbage or?
They picked up the branches and things of that nature that had fallen on the house. That's been removed, and I was told that the property was cut and cleaned up this afternoon, so we removed the 3495 requirement.
Oh, that is off, okay.
Yes, sir.
So the bank is making some effort to work with you guys?
Well, they haven't called us for inspections, and they haven't done anything in that regard, but we don't know if the bank cut and cleaned up the property or if neighbors cut and cleaned up the property.
Okay.
Sometimes that happens. But we've removed the 3495 requirements of the case that we're presenting to you this evening.
It looks like we need to speed this up as soon as possible if it's leaking inside that house.
Well, that's why we're here. We're trying to get their attention.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On this, it says, "and the city to do the work utilizing all means required."
No, that I changed that when I read that to you. I changed the staff recommendation.
The city
will not be doing this work.
Okay, so in light of the fact that it's the historic district, there is no different.
We cannot do that, unfortunately.
Okay, that's what I was wondering because of the automatic demo.
Yeah, unfortunately, we cannot do this work. So we've assessed a fine, and all fines and costs assessed as a lien. That's going to be our remedy, is if we can foreclose our lien and take the property and move it.
Got it.
Can we increase the fine?
Yes, sir. Your maximum daily fine for a first offender, in this case, is $250 per day.
I think, board members, we ought to increase the fine up to $250 in order to get the bank to move on it. Otherwise, at $50 a day, they'll just let it ride.
Yeah, I agree.
And this neighborhood needs to be cleaned up, and that roof needs to be on there.
How long has the roof been leaking? Has it been years or months?
Yes, sir.
So it's been years. So probably 30 days isn't going to make a drastic difference in saving the property?
I don't think so.
So, I mean, I would be fine with the 50. Once they come up as a repeat violator, we can...
Well, we won't be able to bring them as a repeat until we get compliance.
Okay.
Now, so if they don't ever comply, then they'll never
it's
be
all, it's only 50 a day?
Yes.
Yeah, see, sometimes the banks don't respond at that low amount. They just let it go.
Right.
And then they ask for forgiveness later.
Right.
The banks will always come back to ask you for forgiveness.
So in order to get their attention, I think that we need to raise the fine to the maximum amount. Because the roof is leaking, and it is dangerous on that railing. And it is in a historical district where a lot of people take care of their properties.
And it is owned by a bank. It's not owned by an individual?
No.
Just to be clear.
No, the bank got the final judgment of foreclosure.
Okay.
And for a while, someone had just moved in.
Okay.
You know, but Lorraine has indicated to me that it looks to be empty again. So we might have had a squatter situation there.
All right, I'd make a motion to accept the staff recommendation with the addition that it's $250 a day fine, not 50.
And I will second that.
Ms. Roos makes to accept staff recommendation, but add $250 a day instead of 50. And Kyle seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
That'll bring us to page 4 of your agenda this evening. CON 13, 1918. This is the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Paulinda Nanandi. Should I get it? Somebody help me out.
Not me.
It's Namdi.
Namdi. The location is 2201 Northwest 7th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of sections 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure. And section 82182, dangerous building, declared a nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 22509-000-00. All certified mail has been returned. Therefore, we posted the property, and we posted the property with notice on 11/15/2013 for the notice of violation, 1/21/2014 for the notice of hearing, and 2/17/2014 for a revised notice of hearing. As part of your additional correspondence in this case, we included what's called a CRM issue email. CRM is a community response module that's on our city's website that people makes reports, citizens make reports to us of violations in the city. They can make anonymous reports, or they can make reports with their name. The summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and unsecured. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to its unsecured condition and the possibility of transient and neighborhood children activity out on the property. This property is contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included copies of the photographs of the current condition of the property. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. And staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, Sections 82181, and Sections 82182. Order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, secure the residence building as required to prevent unauthorized entry. 3, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. And staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Thomas, could you? In here we see that there's the prostitution and vagrants going in and out of this property.
That's correct.
Do you observe that?
I have observed that.
And on a regular basis, you see this?
I have seen twice in my visits the evidence of that.
And we've had police indication of that activity.
We have.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have you had any contact with the registered owner?
No, none whatsoever.
And it's not owned by the bank, so it's owned by the owner.
It's by a family, yes.
Okay, thank you. I think, again, we ought to get the owner's attention here.
That's what I'm thinking, $25.
I think that at $25 a day, it's not getting anybody's attention. You know, if they're having prostitution and drug dealing there, I wouldn't want that in my neighborhood. I certainly wouldn't want it over there where it is.
So is an increased fine going to help? I mean, is it possible the owner just hasn't, I mean, obviously they've been certified mailed, but I mean, if we raise the fine, it's possible they're not going to realize we even raised the fine.
It doesn't look like they've actually gotten service.
Correct. We have not received service.
You could raise the fine to $1 million a day and they would.
They're probably not going to know.
We couldn't raise it to $1 million because we're not allowed, but as a rule, what we have practiced, what this board has practiced, and what the magistrate has practiced as well, because we try to run things kind of similarly.
Sure.
When we're involved with residents, people, an actual person there, we have generally charged $25 per day. As a rule, when we're dealing with a business company or a bank out of town, whatever, we've generally charged $50 a day. It's certainly within this board's right to modify.
Well, the thing that I'm concerned about is the activity that's going on in the neighborhood there.
Well, I think we have a couple ways to battle that. You could change your fine, as you're saying, to attempt to get there. We haven't had any to get their attention, but we haven't had any contact with them. We don't know if they've just abandoned the property or whatnot. The other thing is that we've got a 14-day window where we would go on the property with your order and do the work. So you could adjust that if you wanted as well, if you felt that might be.
Ask that the work be done right away. After the 14th.
You could say, you know.
It seems like if you could just at least board it up right away.
Right, right. Or you could say 10 days. In actuality, if you said do it tomorrow, that would be a little difficult because we would not be able to rally the things that we need to get that done, one. And two, generally, our job as a board is to provide people a time to cure before something monetarily accrues against them, other than the cost of prosecution.
It seems reasonable to let them, give them time to address the weeds and the accumulation of trash and other unsightly or unsanitary matter, but as far as the, if people are going in and out of the house and, you could
bifurcate your order if you wanted as well. We could handle it that way if you'd like. Open to discussion.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations with the modification that they have to get it done within 7 days.
Just the dangerous building part,
They're not going to get it done either way.
It's been our experience that that's probably the truth of the situation.
And 7 calendar days?
Calendar days.
I'll second it, yeah.
Yard work's just as easy on a Sunday.
Okay, Ms. Roos makes a motion that we accept staff recommendation, but reduce it from 14 to 7 days. And Kyle seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
That'll bring us to the next case on your agenda, CUM 140028. That's the City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Raymond and Maude Cadet. A location of 1600 block of Southwest 2nd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Would point out for the record that these folks live out of town and we've had cases with them before. This is for a violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 22722-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 1/24/2014 for the notice of violation and 1/31/2014 for the notice of hearing. We also posted the property on 1/29/2014 for the notice of hearing and 2/17/2014 for the notice of hearing revised. The summary of findings is that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violations and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful and the violations remain. Staff has included as part of your presentation photographs of the current condition of the property.
The notes say that there was a meth bust.
Yes.
At the tree?
Where?
Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 and order them to, one, cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and city do work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure, and I would prevail upon Officer Thomas to answer a question. I don't know if there's any deal was done there or not.
Mr. Thomas, what's this about a meth at the tree?
Yeah, it says a meth bust.
Where are you reading that on?
I'm on page 27 of 33, chronological events. It says complaint advised there was a meth bust at this location, and now the odors that come within the home. There's no home on this.
I think what they're saying is, was this the one where the people called us up and you wrote that in there, did that? I think they were saying that it was flowing in towards, the fumes were flowing into their home from here.
So there's drug activity on the property?
That's what was being alleged. I don't believe that was part of his investigation.
Have you noticed anybody out there on the property?
No, sir. No, matter of fact, the neighbor, Mrs. Brown, has called us there several times. Previously, he had taken care of it. It's not the case this time.
And you've talked to the owner of the property?
No.
No.
No. Matter of fact, we've had properties.
Who's taking care of it?
It looks like there's service.
Yes, we did obtain service.
I think
Yeah, the information on it.
Where do these people live?
Yeah.
Wrong case details.
We have the wrong case details.
Yeah.
And that was another case that this didn't have, we didn't have any indication of that.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion by Ms. Bruce to, excuse me?
I want to change the dates.
Want to change the dates?
To 7 days.
Well, this isn't, the house is a different matter. There's an actual house that's being demolished. This is a tree that fell down. It's not falling any further. I don't think there's any, I don't think there's going to be much difference between 7 and 14 days in this case, but.
I think we've already had a motion in a second.
Yeah, we've already had the motion anyway. We have a motion by Ms. Bruce to accept staff recommendation. Seconded by
Jason.
All approved?
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
I apologize for the wrong detail being in there. Sometimes it happens. That'll bring us to the bottom of page 4, CUN 140068. This is City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Maple, V. Inez Estate. A location at 1326 Southwest 2nd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida statutes. The parcel ID is 2845-073-011. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 2/7/2014 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the findings of fact in the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case. So just that the new folks here understand, in order to have a repeat violation, we have to have the first violation cleaned up and another violation occur within 5 years. In this case, we're certifying to you that that has occurred, and under Chapter 16204, repeat violation means a violation of any provision of code ordinance by a person who has been previously found through a code enforcement board or any other quasi-judicial or judicial process to have violated or who has admitted violating the same violation within 5 years prior to this violation, notwithstanding the violation occur at different locations. So as long as it's the same person, doesn't matter if it's at different locations. If it's the same person, they've been found guilty, they can be found guilty again as a repeat violator. And the reason why that's important to have a finding that they're a repeat violator is because the fines automatically start at $500 per day. So we've included on page 7 a copy of the first order, and on page 8 an affidavit of partial compliance in that case where the city brought the property into compliance. However, the respondent did not pay the cost of prosecution at that time. That was on 14 March 2012. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property. And the summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code, and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2011, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Thomas revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida statutes and order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
It's an estate, and I see the death certificate on there in 2002, and there is a house. Is the house currently occupied? And if so, is it occupied by a relative or a tenant?
The house was on this property. I believe it was the code board that ordered it to be removed.
Okay.
So there's no longer...
So it's vacant.
No, but we would indicate that the property is within 300 feet of other structures, as is indicated in Officer Thomas's photographs, thereby making the overgrown condition a violation, a current violation of the city's code.
Any discussion?
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
And I'll second.
Ms. Roots has made a motion to accept staff recommendation. Kyle seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
That'll bring us to page 5 of your agenda this evening, CON 140150. The City of Ocala and Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Dorothy Landy. A location at 2730 Southwest 17th Circle, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 23474-003-00. All certified mail has been returned, and we posted the property on 2/11/2014 for the notice of hearing. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida statute. And I would indicate to the board that as part of the additional correspondence in your case presentation this evening, we have a copy of the findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first letter, or in the first case, and a copy of the collection letter in the first case. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2011, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Special Magistrate and found guilty for violation of Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your correspondence in this case, we've included pictures of the current condition of the property. Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any additional questions that you may have. And staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 as a repeat violator per Chapter 16204 of Florida statutes and order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this case.
Any questions for the staff?
Mm-hmm. No.
Open for discussion.
What's the recommendation for this page?
They read it.
Yeah, I don't see it on that page. I don't see the staff recommendations on the docket. What page is it on?
Are you missing page 2?
We probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just check real quick.
I don't think that.
No, it's on there. Page 2.
Should be at the bottom of page 2. Mm-hmm. And page 2 is not on your presentation, but it's on ours.
Okay.
So I apologize for
that. I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Okay, I'll second.
Ms. Roos has made most of the staff to accept staff recommendation, and Kyle seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda this evening, CON 1302025, a case involving Officer Lindsay Newton and the estate of Francis Anderson, 1315 Northeast 23rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. If you give me just a minute to catch up with y'all. There we go.
Jesus.
The parcel ID is 2507-001-010. All certified mail has been returned, and we posted the property on 1-2-2014 for the notice of violation, and 1-21-2014 for the notice of hearing, as well as 2-2-19-2014 for additional notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Newton responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and contains junk and debris. Additional investigation revealed that respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I believe you did the follow-up on this, right? You do the re-inspect for pictures?
Yes.
As part of your presentation this evening, we've included copies of the current condition of the property. We've got the overgrown condition to the rear there with the junk and debris. Staff has a recommendation to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, order them to cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work, utilizing any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. And staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have. We need to just a general cleanup here. And
mm-hmm. And the city ended up doing the work? I think that's what she says in the petition. It says, our understanding is that the city of Ocala took...
Oh, no, you're in the wrong thing. We're still on case, the regular cases.
Yeah, we didn't go to petitions yet.
I apologize. Thank you.
We're on the top of page 5. I'm sorry, middle of page 5.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Anderson.
I thought petitions were in petition forward.
We basically have junk and debris cleanup that we need to do in this case.
We're on that one, up here.
Thank you.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
And I'll second.
Ms. Roos has made a motion to accept staff recommendation. Kyle has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Yes. That takes us to the petition section. We have one petition for you all to review this evening. Jason's already reviewed it.
Yeah. That's the whole thing.
The Bank of America has taken this over from the Bank of New York Mellon. This is not an uncommon practice. I think you can attest to that. The banks are passing properties to one another. It's very difficult for us to keep up with. Kyle as well, our resident real estate people understand this. In this case, they've said that they've brought the property in compliance and they would like some relief of the $6,000 fine. They understand that they would pay the hard costs in this. City staff supports a reduction here.
Oh, Bank of America.
And I think that the reason why city staff supports a reduction is we have several reasons. One, Bank of America does make attempts to work with us. Bank of Mellon does not, as opposed to that. What staff recommendation would be to reduce the fine to $1,000 plus the costs involved in the case. That would certainly motivate them to move on this, and of course we want to put people in houses and get things going. Mm-hmm. So staff proposes that as a remedy in this case to support their petition.
I think that's pretty fair.
Within how many days?
With how many days?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like they bought the house with the lien. I mean, everyone else that was thinking about buying the house knew that the lien was there, didn't realize it was going to get waived. I mean, it's kind of a way to circumvent the lien.
If the bank is working with the city, we do reduce it.
I agree in reducing it, but I'm not sure.
And our typical, I think you're familiar with our typical practice, is to reduce by about 50%.
Right, which would be about $2,500. Yeah.
$6,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, $6,325.
And what's the cost of the work? Is that on here?
That is in here. We have included that as part of our presentation. If you close the petition, there is a section called case cost sheet. Essentially, the
so it'd be $3,325.
The fine was $6,000. The cost of the work for the city to do was $203, and we had $122.69 in cost of prosecution. So, you know, however you all want.
I mean, I would think a number like $3,300 would be fine. That's about 50%. You just include that as the cost of prosecution and everything.
That is 50%.
Yeah, so that would be exactly almost 50%.
33.25.69 is 50% reduction.
I'd make a motion to reduce the fine to
33.25.69.
$25.69.
Second.
Okay.
So I heard $33.29.69. $33.25.69.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's correct. And paid within 30 calendar days. Mm.
Do we usually give them that long, or is it usually?
Usually give them 10.
10.
Let's do it.
Okay. 10 calendar days.
Let's do it. Yeah. Okay.
So motion by Jason.
Motion by Jason to accept the staff.
Amended.
Amended.
Make his recommendation.
Yeah. Seconded by
Mr. Batzel.
Mr. Batzel. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
And now I've done this backwards.
Okay.
I have to have a redo.
A redo.
I'll tell you why. The staff attorney and I discussed 1262, and I was told it was removed from the agenda. It was removed, but it's not off of my agenda. So 1265 is not the case that we need to hear, and I apologize for after all that work. The one we need to hear is on the top of page 6, CUM 13-1505, which is the documents that you have. However, the numbers that you all discussed are the correct numbers. We just didn't call it right from the agenda. So if you just do your motion.
All the facts remain.
All the facts are the same, just have the wrong case number. So CUM 13-1505 is the actual case number, Bank of New York number.
We have a motion by Mr.
Sorry, I'll make another motion to reduce the fine to $33.25.69, as long as it's paid within 10 calendar days.
We have a motion by Jason to do it within 10 days, and the cost of
$33.25.69.
And seconded by Mr. Bowden.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
And that takes us to old business on the agenda this evening. That's in the middle of page 6. We have a consent agenda item for noncompliance. However, I am going to request that this board grant an additional 14 days to this respondent. And I'm going to do that because of the magnitude of the violation that they are working to correct. They have been working to correct that with us. If you all recall, this was the 10-acre property that was overgrown. The board ordered them to cut and clean it up.
That was the school?
No.
This is the one with the houses with the lady and
yes.
Over the fence and
oh, yes.
Don't cut my patio.
They took care of everything by her house to way beyond her expectations. She's thoroughly satisfied. However, in review of the remaining portion of the property, there was some question about how much had to be cut and those kinds of things. And we went back out and worked with them to point out what needed to be done. That took us some time to coordinate that effort. They are working on that. We need to go do a reinspection, and I am requesting an additional 2 weeks. Even though they're not here representing them tonight, I would like to have that extended by 2 weeks.
I'd make a motion to do that.
Second.
Ms. Rooster, make a motion to accept
staff
recommendation.
So what you're doing is you're going to just amend your order for compliance an additional 14 days.
Okay.
And
Mr. Basil will second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Basil?
That's
all right.
Name tags.
I'll write everybody down.
Yeah, we're going to we'll write down a placemat for you. So that concludes our business. I'm prepared to answer any questions that you all may have. This is pretty much our usual fare in the evening. Sometimes it gets more heated.
And I apologize. This was the first time I've sat in the chair doing this, so it's
so I'll tell you a couple more things. You'll hear us talking about posting a property. And we had some pictures in there where you see our notice of violation or our notice of hearing is posted. Once a year, this board authorizes us as a cost-effective measure to post a property rather than print an ad in the newspaper that we have to run for 4 consecutive weeks. And we're allowed to do that under the law with your approval. So once a year we come, this board did this in January. Once a year we come before you to seek that approval. It saves the city a lot of money. I don't have to tell you that our certified mail bill is well over $21,000 a year.
Wow.
And if we had to do advertising, that would be significantly increased cost to taxpayers. Therefore, we do seek that from you once a year. We also seek annually your approval of the policies and procedures and your time limits and rules for presentations before you all. And if you had some input in that regard, we would take that information, and next year when we come up to bring that to you all again, we would present it with your changes for discussion. Having said all of that, if you don't have any questions, I would respectfully request a motion from the board to accept all testimony, evidence, and presentations into the record this evening.
I'd make that motion.
Mr. Roots will make that motion. I'll second it.
Having said that, City Press.
Code Board is now adjourned.
Cold chicken and warm beer, as Jay Musley just said.
Thank God.